Our Old Testament reading, Exodus 37, verses 17 through 24. Hear the word of God. Our text begins with the word he, and that is, of course, a reference to Bezalel back in verse 1. He also made the lampstand of pure gold. Of hammered work he made the lampstand, its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs, and its flowers were of the same piece. And 6 branches came out of its sides, 3 branches of the lampstand out of the one side, and 3 branches of the lampstand out of the other side. There were 3 bowls made like almond blossoms on one branch, with an ornamental knob and a flower, and 3 bowls made like almond blossoms on the other branch, with an ornamental knob and a flower, and so for the 6 branches coming out of the lampstand. And on the lampstand itself were 4 bowls made like almond blossoms, each with its ornamental knob and flower. There was a knob under the first 2 branches of the same, a knob under the second 2 branches of the same, and a knob under the third 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches extending from it. Their knobs and their branches were of one piece, and it was one hammered piece. All of it was one hammered piece of pure gold. And he made its 7 lamps, its wick trimmers, and its trays of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold he made it, with all its utensils. Our New Testament reading, John 8, in verses 12 through 16. The fourth gospel, the gospel of John, chapter 8, beginning at verse 12. And I think you'll immediately see the connection with our Old Testament text. Again, the word of God. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. The word of our God. You may be seated. The title of the message this morning, The Light of the World. Do give earnest attention to the preaching of the Word of God. The other day at Presbytery, we heard a fine sermon by a young man preparing for the gospel ministry. His subject was the church as the house of God. He made the point that when God created the earth, he made it into a house, as it were. A house for himself and man to live in and to have fellowship in. Before the fall, God and man enjoyed daily fellowship in the cool of the day. But after the fall, that fellowship was broken. In the creation account, the Bible states that God planted a garden eastward in Eden, Genesis 2:8. This language indicates that the garden was not coextensive with Eden, but an enclosed area within it. In the Middle East, gardens are usually enclosed by a wall. As a matter of fact, there's a nice little children's movie called The Secret Garden, and some children learn the secret entrance into the garden, and they go into the garden. I saw part of it a long time ago, but it's a delightful thought. Just think of an elegant garden with a wall all around it. The Garden of Eden had trees for beauty and to provide food, abundant food for Adam and Eve. The trees provided places for privacy, essentially rooms. It had running water, just like a house might have running water. Four rivers that ran through the garden. It had a ceiling. The word firmament comes from the word firm, and it means something like a vaulted ceiling. And it had lamps, which in the creation account are different from the light which God created on the first day. And that was the point of the speaker at the presbytery meeting. On the fourth day, God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. When the creation account speaks of lights, it uses a different word from light, which was created first, Genesis 1, verse 3. The word for lights is used in reference also to the light of the tabernacle. You can write down the reference, Exodus 25, verse 6, which speaks of oil for the light. And it uses the very same word that's used of the lights in the sky over the Garden of Eden. So when it speaks of oil for the light, Exodus 25, verse 6, it's speaking essentially of a lamp. For thousands of years, a lamp has been a piece of household furniture. Without one, man is forced to go to bed at dusk and awake at dawn. A lamp enables human activity after dark. In the Middle East in ancient times, lamps were vessels made out of pottery with one edge of the rim pinched together to hold a wick, which, when the lamp was filled with oil, would burn steadily and cast light all around. The lampstand in the tabernacle was especially elaborate, as we have just read. It was made of a talent, 57 pounds of pure gold. It would be worth a fortune today. I checked the price of gold this morning. The gold alone would be worth over $1.2 million at the current price of $1,332 an ounce. That's $1,332 an ounce, the price today. Think of the Levites lugging around a lampstand weighing 57 pounds, and I'm sure most of that weight was in the bottom to enable it to stand upright. Over desert sands. That would have been hard work. But the lamp had to travel with the Israelites wherever God would lead them. Why? Because it was God's will. The lampstand was made something like a tree with a trunk-like shaft or post standing on a heavy base, and that shaft then holding seven arms, one of which went straight up and six of which went out from the post, three on each side. At the ends of the arms were bowls, which, though made of gold, could have held pottery lamps filled with oil. Think of how this must have looked in the tabernacle. Instead of a single lamp emitting its glow, and you can imagine it would be very difficult to read something in the glow of a single lamp, but there were seven individual lamps. The light was seven times brighter. Amazingly, and this is amazing, please listen carefully here. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John sees a vision of exactly seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man. Revelation 1, 12 and 13. This is amazing. Not only for the number, seven lampstands and the Son of Man in the middle of them, but think of it this way too. How could Moses, who wrote some 1,600 years earlier, have known that the Apostle John would write of seven lampstands? Well, he could not know that. But the divine spirit who inspired him coordinated it all so that the Bible is, in fact, the Word of God. The New Testament text thus indicates that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is that Lamb, is the light of the world, as he himself declares in our New Testament text, which we read just a few moments ago, John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is ultimately the fulfillment of the lampstand in the tabernacle. This almost makes goosebumps arise on the back of my neck. But do not miss this point. The seven-branched lampstand in the tabernacle is a picture of Christ. The Bible shows that. The lampstands in Revelation signify actually the seven churches addressed in Revelation 2 and 3. Seven particular congregations in Asia Minor. And you remember the letters to the seven churches, to the church at Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Real churches, real people, real Christians. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself stands in the midst of his churches, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Revelation 1, verse 16. So the light of the tabernacle was bright by ancient standards, something perhaps akin to seven candle power. We still use that phrase. You can actually go online and read an official definition of the candle power. But seven candle power. But the light of Christ and the gospel is infinitely brighter. Think of the brilliance of the sun at noon on a clear day. Just think of how a person might instinctively put on a brimmed hat or reach for sunglasses. But Christ is like the sun shining in its strength. The sun shining in its strength is the power of the gospel to bring the light of the world to those walking in darkness. The prophet Isaiah prophesied of the day when Messiah would come. He wrote, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Isaiah 9, verse 2. As the hymn writer put it, and the hymn is in our hymn book, the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Have you ever tried to grope for an item in the dark? Maybe it's something you've reached for many times. Maybe it's your pair of glasses on the nightstand right next to your bed. But all of a sudden it's pitch dark and you have trouble reaching for them. You always put that item perhaps in the same place, but in the dark you reach for it and it is not there. Or maybe it's something that's fallen out of your hand and rolled onto the floor. You know it's down there, but in the dark you cannot find it. Actually, as I said those words just now, I'm reminded yesterday my dear wife came up behind me as I was eating a peanut, and it flew out of my hand and landed on the kitchen counter, and it was broad daylight, and I couldn't find it. She had to move some things. Oh, there it is. It was a really good peanut. I didn't want to. It was a big, fat one, I'll tell you. Well, anyway, if you've ever reached for something in the dark and you reach all around and you can't find it, here's a picture of the human race groping around, lost in darkness. Men and women who are alive physically, but dead spiritually. They know there is something wrong in the world. All kinds of crazy things happen. The world seems out of control. They long for peace, contentment and stability, but they cannot find it. They may even turn to drugs or alcohol or sensual pleasure to try to find serenity, but it is elusive. Actually, according to the Bible, it cannot ever be found, for it is found only in Christ. The Old Testament pictures a world lost in sin. At the time of Noah, just 10 generations after Adam, we read that the Lord God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis 6, verse 5. Here's a picture of darkness, a world without the light of the gospel, a world in which only the man Noah and his immediate family found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 6, verse 8. The New Testament tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he invited the men of his day to come with him into the ark, but they would have nothing to do with it. And so they perished in the flood of waters. After the flood, God revealed himself to Abraham the Hebrew, Genesis 14, verse 13. And over time, he progressively revealed himself to Abraham's spiritual posterity. He gave Israel his law, the law that reveals to man his need for a Savior, since he cannot save himself, and utterly fails to measure up to God's standard of absolute perfection. And as we see in our Old Testament text this morning, one of the ways that God revealed himself was through the golden lampstand. In our Old Testament text today, we read the account of the lampstand's fabrication. It was made under the direction of the master craftsman Bezalel, who was filled with the Spirit of God for this important work. This golden lampstand's purpose was to give off light in the tabernacle. Modern commercial buildings, such as shopping centers, are usually constructed with no windows. They depend entirely on artificial lighting. Usually they have battery backup lights for emergencies, but these are not always reliable. Last month, there was a massive power outage at the Atlanta airport, one of the busiest in the world, which resulted in mass chaos, hundreds of canceled flights, darkened terminals, passengers stranded in planes waiting on the tarmac because they couldn't come in to discharge the passengers, broken down luggage carousels, underground trains in darkened tunnels stopped dead in their tracks, no food service. One headline read, "When the lights went out, completely pitch black at Atlanta Airport." Can you imagine the feeling of helplessness to be walking in a crowded terminal, hordes of people all around you, and suddenly the lights go out? Should you stop or keep walking? What do you do? Here's a picture of a world without Christ. Norma and I have visited a store about 20 miles from here that is run by Old Order Mennonites. There is no electricity in the store, but there is a phone, and I can't explain that. You'll have to ask them. There are skylights up in the ceiling, and consequently, the store is brighter on sunny days than on cloudy days. To city dwellers used to the bright lights of the big box stores, that little country store is dim indeed. Kind of like a picture of the tabernacle as compared to the light of the sun, the Lord Jesus Christ. Before Christ, the world lay in darkness, spiritual darkness. God revealed himself only to Abraham and to his seed. But with the coming of Christ, the glory of God shone in like the sun at noonday. And as the church faithfully preaches the gospel, not some man-made substitute, it becomes as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Proverbs 4:18. Men and women hear the gospel and are drawn to Christ. They put their trust in Him and pass on the light that they have received to others until the number of believers becomes a great multitude that no man can number. As the psalmist wrote, "For with Thee is the fountain of life. In Thy light shall we see light." Psalm 36, verse 9. Man struggles with ultimate questions. Who made me? Why am I here? Where am I going? What is the purpose of life? The created order reveals that there is a God. We live in God's world, and we are ultimately responsible to God. He will reward those who diligently seek Him, but punish those who sin. But the world around us does not reveal the Savior. Just looking at the beauty of creation doesn't tell us that God has entered into our human condition and sent His Son to take upon Him human flesh. The beauty and order and predictableness of the created order do not reveal the story of Christ on the cross. That knowledge is found only in the Holy Scriptures and the preaching of the Word. But when that Word comes to man as the Spirit powerfully moves, the blinders come off and it all suddenly becomes clear. It is God who made me and sent His Son to die for me. Yes, with Thee is the fountain of life. In Thy light shall we see light. When the benighted soul is impacted with the light of the gospel, suddenly everything becomes clear. In the light of God, the spiritually reborn sinner sees the light that clarifies everything. As the psalmist puts it, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8. Yes, it is the law of the Lord, the Bible, the truth of God's Word that enlightens the eyes. Without it, you are lost in darkness. Though you are not aware of it, you are in a position infinitely more terrifying than being stranded at the Atlanta airport in pitch darkness. For without the Word of God to enlighten your eyes, you are destined for outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, beckons us with His ringing declaration that we heard in His Word this morning. "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. There is no light in secularism. There is no light in Eastern mysticism. There is no light in the cults. There is no light in the so-called social gospel. There is no light in self-help. There is no light inside the sin-darkened soul. Some people think that if they just look inwardly, they're going to find light. There's no light there. You cannot earn your way to heaven. God's standard is absolute perfection, and the only one in history who has ever attained to that perfect standard is the sinless Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. His death on the cross paid for the sins of all His elect people. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lost sinners whose eyes are opened by the Holy Spirit are attracted to the light, much as moths are attracted to the light. hypocrites are detected by the light, much like a counterfeit bill is detected by a strong light. And saints are comforted by the light. John Denver famously sang of sunshine on my shoulders. Christian fellowship is like the warm glow of gospel light. Once we have experienced the light, we will never want to go back into the darkness. We will want to follow the light until the perfect day, the day of Christ. Not only did Jesus declare that he is the light of the world, he also declared in another place that Christians are the light of the world. He said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5:14-16. As we've seen, Christ is like the light of the sun. He's the Son of Righteousness who arises with healing in his wings. Scientists believe that there is enough nuclear fuel in the sun to last for millions of years. The light of the sun is original. On the other hand, the light of the moon is derivative. The moon reflects the light of the sun. On a clear fall night, the harvest moon bathes the entire landscape in beautiful light. If you go out to walk your dog on such a night, you can see most everything clearly. The church is like the light of the moon in a world that still walks in darkness. Now, many hundreds of years after Isaiah said those words, the church is like a brightly illuminated city set on a hill, a beacon to the lost. The preaching of the gospel goes forth from the church, but the preaching has to be backed up by changed lives. By the changed lives of the members, letting their lights shine in their homes, neighborhoods, and workplaces as beacons of the gospel. And as the people of God do the good works that are pleasing to God, the light of Christ shines before men. And when they see our good works which conform to the light of the gospel, their response, listen to the words of Jesus, their response will be to glorify our Father who is in heaven. This speaks of the conversion of multitudes. For the only way truly to glorify God is out of a converted heart. The person dead in sins lives for himself alone. He cannot possibly glorify God. But as the church faithfully carries the precious light of the gospel into the world, God is faithful to bless the preaching of the gospel lived out in the lives of his people with spiritual fruit as more and more people are brought to Christ. The only way for a church to grow is by word of mouth, as satisfied customers, so to speak, tell their family, friends, and neighbors about what they have found and how they have been helped. God's people ought to be excited about the gospel. They ought to speak of Christ at every opportunity, not some canned, artificial presentation that comes out of a sense of guilt, but one that speaks out of a life that has been changed. As the hymn writer put it, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see." But when you speak of how your life has been changed, does it ring true? Do your good works, done in obedience to God's commands, show themselves to be the fruits and evidences of a true and lively faith? As the Westminster Confession of Faith puts it in chapter 16, The church reflects the light of Christ. He is the light of the world. We let our light shine by our good works. This teaches us that the Christian faith is not just something to be believed, but something to be lived. We are to let our light shine before men, not so that they glorify us, not so that they pat us on the back and say, "What a good person you are," but so that they may glorify our Father who is in heaven. The preaching of the word, together with the testimony of changed lives, is a powerful combination. A lamp is no good unless it gives off light. If you have a lamp that doesn't work, you ought either to get it fixed or to recycle it. I've had to do this on a few occasions throughout our lifetime. If a lamp does not work, all it does is take up space. Christian, are you taking up space or are you letting your light shine? The church's light is the gospel. It is the gospel that gives light and dispels darkness. Think once again of the shape of the Exodus lampstand. There is a tall pole set upon a heavy base, and there are seven branches with seven lamps. Seven, the perfect ideal number. The seven lamps represent the church. Particular churches are branches of the universal church. Churches in various countries and in various settings, all doing their part to focus the light of the gospel on the person of Christ. And what of the knobs and flowers? Knobs and flowers are for decoration. And these seem to signify the graces of the Holy Spirit with which believers are adorned. You cannot bring forth good works apart from the Holy Spirit. But we read in Psalm 149, verse 4, that the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Is he beautifying your life? Is his Spirit producing the good works of the gospel in you? Can people around you see the light of Christ in you? If not, confess your sins and endeavor with the Spirit's power to say those things and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. May your life, may my life, be a reflection of Jesus Christ. The prophet Zechariah saw a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And believe it or not, he saw on the stand seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. He spoke to the angel who talked with him, and he said, "What are these, my Lord?" He wrote these words, "Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, 'Do you not know what these things are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.' So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" Again, a lampstand with seven lamps, and the one who produces the light in them is the Holy Spirit of God. In the prologue to the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed as the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John 1, verse 9. Here is the light of the world, who by his Holy Spirit enlightens darkened sinners. And his light will never end. In heaven we read that there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. Revelation 22, verse 5. We live in a sin-darkened world. There is an old saying, it is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. Church of Jesus Christ, light your light to the glory of our eternal God. Amen. Let's go to him now in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the lampstand in the tabernacle. He who shines with the light of the sun in its brilliance. But Lord, we know that the church is made up of individuals, men and women, who are to be the light of the world to people around them. And Lord, you have told us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. Help us to do that, Lord, this coming week. Help us to shine as lights in a dark world. We pray in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.